things that he said right here, right now. Every passage that he talked about where Holy Spirit baptism has occurred tonight, guess what? That's right. I agree with everything regarding they did occur. That did occur. No problem. I want to begin, though, number one, Matthew 12 and verse 38. Take your Bibles. Turn there with me. Friend, I ask on Monday night for your understanding about this. Did I ask for a sign? No, I didn't. This is what I said. I said, if you have what they had, you will do what they did. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the Apostle Paul, and I read passage after passage regarding this. When the Apostle Paul went to Corinth, ladies and gentlemen, what did he do? He come with word only? Did he come and just talk to them with words only? No. When he went to Corinth, he went with spirit, with a demonstration and power. Why? Because he had the miraculous spiritual gift to testify that he was an apostle of Jesus Christ. Philip, when he went to Samaria, did he go with word only? When he preached Jesus to those folks? No. Friend, when he went to Samaria, he went with power, and they could recognize the difference between a false preacher, teacher, and the true. They understood the difference. Can we understand the difference? I think we can, ladies and gentlemen, by what takes place. Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. We've been brought forth to this passage a few times. It says, then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. I've not asked for a sign from him. I just simply said if he had what they had, he'll do what they did. Verse 39, but he answered and said to them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after sign. I'm not the sign seeker tonight. I am not the sign seeker. I'm not the one looking for a sign. I'm not the one seeking for a sign. I expect that if he has what he says he had, he'll give us a sign, but I'm not seeking for one. Verse 40, or verse 39 there, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. Did Jesus give him a sign? Did he give him a sign? Verse 40, for as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth, and men of Nineveh will arise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And indeed, a greater than Solomon is here. Did Jesus give him a sign? And by the way, I pointed this out the other night. And I thought this would have taken care of it. They had seen the miracles of Jesus Christ. They had seen people raised from the dead. They had seen children healed of their diseases. They had seen the lame walk. They had seen people that had been maimed, that is, their limbs cut off. And I'd like to ask again, if someone was working in a field here in Ward, Arkansas, and they got their hand caught in a combine and it was cut off and they came to Mr. Hepp, what would he do? Would he have the elders pray for them, anoint him with oil? And hope that it grew back? Would it grow back? I'd like to know. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. They saw the signs. They saw these incredible things that could not be denied. Acts 4 and verse 12. They could not deny. Even the enemies of Jesus Christ, the enemies of the apostles recognized the signs. They denied the signs. They rejected the signs, but they saw them. We haven't seen anything. Isn't that something? Let's go over to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. Mr. Hepp wanted to talk about that a little bit, and I'm glad he did. 2 Timothy chapter 3. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. I'm a lover of God, by the way. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Now, keep that in mind. In fact, keep your finger here in 2 Timothy. I want you to turn to another passage real quick. Let's go to Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Romans 1 and verse 16. The Apostle Paul here writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation unto all that believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, as it is written, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." What's the power of God? What were these men in 2 Timothy chapter 3 rejecting? Were they rejecting miracles? No. They were rejecting the power of God. That is the deliverance from sin, the salvation that comes in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what they were denying the power of. And friend, listen to me. That's what my opponent is actually denying this week too. He has denied the power of the gospel to save your soul. He thinks you have to have something else. He doesn't believe the written word is able to do it. He doesn't think it does. Now, friend, who is it that's really denying the power of God? He wants to bring the passage up? That's good. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. I knew that's where he was going when he asked that question a while ago. In fact, I asked him to go there, and I'm glad that he did. "Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment." Now, certainly those are some basic tenets regarding the teachings that were taking place. No question about that. But the doctrine of baptisms, Bruce, if you will, go to chart 55. 55. There were many baptisms in the New Testament. Many. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 10, 1 and 2, you have the baptism of Moses. In Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11, you have the baptism of John. By the way, Acts chapter 19, the purpose of the speaking in tongues there, I do really believe this, that the purpose was to confirm that John's baptism was no longer valid, it was to be done away with, and the baptism of Jesus Christ is what they must submit to. Suffering, the baptism of suffering, Mark chapter 10, verses 38 and 39, Christ and the apostles. Now, Holy Spirit baptism, yes, it occurred in the New Testament, no question about that, but it stopped. We're going to prove that in a minute. Jesus' baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, Acts 2 and verse 38. Salvation is in Christ, Romans 6 and verses 3 and 4. And then you also have fire. Fire. Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit, or even maybe even tomorrow afternoon. All right, chart 56. Chart 56. There is only one baptism today. You know what? Mr. Hepp agreed with us on this, didn't he? He agreed with this passage in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5. What does the Lord say through the Apostle Paul? There is one baptism. One plus one equals what? One plus one equals what? One? Where'd you go to school? One plus one equals what? There is only how many baptisms today? There were two baptisms. In fact, there were actually three in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. You have John's baptism, you have the Holy Spirit baptism that was promised or prophesied by John regarding the administrator. He would baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And you have baptism in fire. In 30 A.D., you have Holy Spirit baptism and you have water baptism. Acts 1, 5 through 8, the apostles were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Acts 2, 1 through 4, that's what happened. Verse 38, they had people baptized in water. You have water baptism. You have Holy Spirit baptism. A.D. 41, you have Holy Spirit baptism. The Holy Spirit fell upon the household of Cornelius to prove that they were to be accepted into the fellowship of the body of Christ. When they complied with the conditions of the gospel, which they did in verses 47 and 48, for they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, that's water baptism. So you have Holy Spirit baptism. You have water baptism. How many baptisms were there? Two. But friend, in 62 A.D., when the book of Ephesians was written, how many baptisms were there? One. That's not that hard. All right, next chart, chart 57. If Holy Spirit baptism is for the church today, then water baptism has been done away with. And, of course, that's vice versa as well. If water baptism is for the church today, then Holy Spirit baptism has been done away with. One of the two. You can't have both. All right. He talked about contradicting. If I can show where he's contradicting himself, bring the passage. Tell you what we're going to do. We're going to bring a few of them. Let me see here. Let me get back to where I want to start here, where I stopped in our first speech. All right, chart 129. 129. We heard about being baptized in the name of Jesus for remission of sins. We also heard that Holy Spirit baptism is what puts you into Christ. Now, he was water baptized, he said, 4 years prior to the time in which he was baptized by the Holy Spirit. 4 years.
4 months.
Four months. Thank you very much. 4 months. Now, what was Mr. Hip's condition for those 4 months? Now, you know, in Acts the 8th chapter, you have men who are being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Simon himself also believed, and he was baptized. And it was later when Peter and John came down that they had received the Holy Spirit through the laying on of the apostles' hands. Were they forgiven of their sins in Acts 8 and verse 12 when they believed and were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? Were they forgiven of their sins? Now, according to his position, what I've heard him say tonight and what I've heard him say many times on his radio program, and I give him this, he's consistent. Consistently wrong, but he's consistent. He says that you're baptized in water for remission of sins and you're forgiven when you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins. You're forgiven. So you're forgiven, but you're not in Christ. Oh, but wait a minute. In Acts chapter 10, you have folks who have the Holy Spirit baptism fall upon them, and he's right that that's what happened. That is Holy Spirit baptism in Acts chapter 10. I agree with that. But then they were commanded to be baptized in the name of the Lord, Jesus Christ. In verses 47, 48, they did that. Well, prior to that time, were they in Christ but not forgiven? Is that possible? Go to the next chart, Bruce. You know what, friend? Listen, this is simple. Sin separates a person from God. When a person's sin is washed away, guess what happens? Guess what happens? That relationship is restored. He's put back with the Lord. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, your sins and your iniquities have separated you between you and your God. Romans 6 and verse 23 says that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Or chapter 3 and verse 23, and chapter 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin is what? Death. Now, the blood of Jesus cleanses a person of his sins. Ephesians 1 and verse 7, Colossians 1 and verse 14. But I tell you what, let's turn to that passage. He wanted me to present Scripture here. Let's do it. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1 and verse 7. Notice what it says. In Him we have redemption through His blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. In Him we have redemption through His blood. Where is forgiveness found? It's in Christ, isn't it? Colossians 1 and verse 14, if you'll turn over there with me real quick. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. This is what we read. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Where is forgiveness at? It's in Christ, isn't it? That's where forgiveness is. It's in Christ. Where is the blood of Christ? It is in Christ. That's where the blood is. It's in the body. That's when you come in contact with the blood. It's in Him. It's in Christ. The blood is found only in Christ. Romans 3:24. Turn back there with me. Romans chapter 3 and verse 24. I'm interested to see what he's going to do with this particular blatant contradiction here. Romans chapter 3 and verse 24, it says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is where? In Christ. That's where redemption is. It is in Christ. But you have someone forgiven, but not in Christ according to His doctrine. Water baptism is for remission of sins. Now, that's interesting. A person is forgiven of his sins, but outside of Christ? No. A person is forgiven only when he enters into Christ. Let's go to chart 157. Bruce, 157. By one Spirit, we've all been baptized into one body. whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one spirit. The word by here is a primary preposition denoting position and instrumentality. Immediately or constructively, according to Strong's Talking Greek and Hebrew Dictionary. In other words, the Holy Spirit is the one, is the instrument which delivers one into the body of Christ. I'll agree with that. But wait a minute. Hold on just a second. What is meant by that? By one Spirit, or by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, by the Spirit, we learn some things, don't we? Go to the next chart. 158. No one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Okay? How does that take place? The Holy Spirit reveals who Jesus is. So when I hear who Jesus is and I believe what the Holy Spirit says, guess what? Guess what? I can say that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. That means I have the Holy Spirit, doesn't it? Jesus is Lord. Go to 163. By one Spirit, we've all been baptized into one body. The preposition has the idea of instrumentality. Now, the Holy Spirit leads us to, by the instrument of His Word, to be baptized into Christ. The baptism, the one New Testament baptism, is water baptism that we are to comply with, that we are to obey. And we're going to go back to something here real quick, if I can find it. I'll tell you what, let me save that for later. I'll get back to this. Let's keep this in mind. We'll talk about this tomorrow because I want to examine in detail 1 Corinthians 12 tomorrow afternoon. So come back. And we're going to look at it and we're going to examine it. Okay, chart 61. 61. By one Spirit, I've been baptized into Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you something else. I've been born again of water and the Spirit. Occurs in water baptism when by faith one obeys the instructions of the Holy Spirit through the Word to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins. I ask the question, can one obey the gospel? Can one by faith be baptized into Jesus Christ without being brought forth to do so by the Holy Spirit? Ladies and gentlemen, that's what happened to me, and that's what the word born means right there. Next chart, chart 62. Let's compare Scripture with Scripture. That's what Mr. Hepp asked for. That's what I love to do. John 3:5, born of water and the Spirit. Compare that with Titus 3:5, washing of regeneration, that's baptism, and renewing of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit does. That is an act of the Holy Spirit. When does He do it? When we're baptized into Christ. When we're washed. The washing of regeneration. Ephesians 5 and verse 26. The washing of water, that's baptism, by the Word. That's the medium through which the Holy Spirit works. That's the medium through which the Holy Spirit works. Ephesians 5:26, we're washed in water by the Word. That is, by the Spirit. He revealed the Word. Jesus said in John 6:63, the words that I speak to you, they are Spirit and they are life. Hebrews 10 and verse 22, bodies washed, hearts sprinkled. Yes, water baptism, our conscience cleansed. 1 Peter 1 and verses 21 and 22, we have purified our souls in obeying the truth. Get this, through the Spirit. I purify my soul by obeying the truth through the Spirit. That's what your Bible says, 1 Peter 1 and verse 21. 22. And then 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God. We'll look at that passage some more as we go through this discussion tomorrow afternoon as well. Chart 65, Bruce. Chart 65, the word born here. He asked me what it means. This is what it means. To procreate properly of the father, but by extension of the mother. Figurative, to regenerate. All right, next chart. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many followers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. There's the Holy Spirit. Through the gospel. There's the power of God to save man. Through the gospel. Born of is not equivalent with water baptism. Baptism, water baptism, is only a part of the new birth. It is our act of obedience to the commands of the gospel. The gospel which was delivered by the Holy Spirit. When I believe what the Holy Spirit has revealed and I comply with that instruction, I am born of water and the Spirit. This is not Holy Spirit baptism. It's not. This is not what that is. Born does not mean baptism. James 1:18, of His own will He brought us forth. There's the idea of born again. Born again. We are brought forth. Born. Brought forth by the Word of Truth. Ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. Chart 166. Mr. Hip brought up Galatians 3:27. 166. Galatians 3:26 and 27, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That's right. How many of us have been baptized into Christ? I have. I've been baptized into Jesus Christ. I repented of my sins, and by faith I was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And thus I've entered into that relationship because I've been forgiven of my sins, washed by the blood of the Lamb. I am purified by obeying the truth. I purified my soul in obeying the truth. You know, Mr. Hip says there are two things that happen in conversion: water baptism and receive the Holy Spirit. I think part of Mr. Hip's problem is this. Every time he sees Holy Spirit, he thinks miracle. And I think that's a problem for him. That's not what we see in the New Testament. Let's go on to chart 100. 100. Acts 2:38, he talked about the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit is not Holy Spirit baptism in this verse. Holy Spirit baptism occurred in verses 1 through 4. That was what the apostles received. That is not what these other folks received. The gift is that to which the signs pointed, by the way, and not the signs themselves, as you see, as we will see in a moment. The main point of Joel's prophecy that is alluded to earlier in verse 21 is what? Salvation. This promise is to you, by the way, and to your children and all to afar off. What promise is that? That's the promise of salvation, ladies and gentlemen. That's exactly what that is. I tell you what, let's go back to chart 86. 86. And let's think about this for a moment. He brought up Joel 2. But this is what the prophet was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. And I'm glad he agreed that that's not really all flesh. I'm glad to know that. I agree. It's limited. He recognizes it's limited. You know what that means? That means he doesn't even believe his own argument. That's what it means. He recognizes that it's limited. He does not believe his own argument on this passage. I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out of my Spirit. I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Did that happen? Yes, it did. It will happen. This does not imply that the signs will continue. There is nothing in this passage that suggests that they will. The results do. The results do, in that this confirmed that the gift of salvation is now available for all men, and this gift is for everybody that is salvation, and we can all have it. But the signs confirm the existence of the gift. Now, I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. God did thus. Fulfilled. Your sons and your daughters. This happened. The daughters of Philip prophesied. And all my men servants and maid servants, I will pour out of my Spirit in those days. You know, it does not say throughout those days. Who is it that's adding to the Bible here? Who is that? It's not me. All Christians, by the way, and it says, and they shall prophesy. It's interesting. It does not say they shall all speak in tongues. It doesn't say that. It says they shall prophesy. Did they all prophesy? Not according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 28, 29. By the way, it also says, do all prophesy? Do all speak in tongues? The answer to both questions is no. No. So we understand this is limited. And nothing in this passage says that it will continue on. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness. Absolutely. All that stuff, of course, is dealing with the judgment of the Lord upon Jerusalem, by the way, in that particular verses 19 and 20. Then verse 20, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It will happen. The day is coming. The signs would confirm the substance, but the signs were not the substance themselves. Now, we can talk about this a little bit more tomorrow. There's nothing in that passage. There's nothing in Acts 2:38 that requires miraculous spiritual gifts or Holy Spirit baptism. Nothing is there for that. He talked about Acts chapter 10. Let's go to, Let's go to Acts chapter 10 for just a moment. And let's talk a little bit about that. Acts chapter 10. You know, in this text, what does it say? It says that they received what? Something that the apostles received. Because the apostle Paul, later on in chapter 11, we'll get to that in just a second, says that this is the same thing that we received. Let's look at verse 44. While Peter was yet speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, on those of the circumcision who believed, were astonished. Why were they astonished? As many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, and they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, "Can anyone forbid water?" Now let's go over to chapter 11 real quick. Look at verse 16. "Then I remembered the word of the Lord." What caused him to remember the word of the Lord? Well, I'll tell you. Look back up to verse 15. "And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning." At the beginning. You know how many thousands of people have been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? You know how many people? Thousands. Thousands and thousands. In fact, you have Acts chapter 8. Now, there had been 6 to 10 years gone by from the time that the day of Pentecost took place and this event in Caesarea Philippi, including the laying on of the apostles' hands in Samaria. Peter and John, when they laid their hands on them, guess what? Peter didn't go back to... You know what happened to the Samaritans? Didn't do that, did he? He didn't go back to what happened to him in Joppa when he laid his hands on somebody there. No, he went all the way back to the beginning, some 6 to 10 years. Why in the world would he do that? Because that's the last time anything like this had ever happened. That's it. And you can't prove otherwise. This is not the same thing. And by the way, Holy Spirit baptism, ladies and gentlemen, is always designated as Holy Spirit baptism. This idea of being filled by the Holy Spirit is not the same thing. We'll talk about that some more tomorrow because I've got some notes on that. In fact, chart 173. Go ahead and go to chart 173, Bruce. 173. Holy Spirit baptism by Christ from heaven. He shall baptize you. Received by the apostles in Acts 2. Received by the Gentiles in Acts 10. But laying on the apostles' hands is something totally different. It was received by many, distinct from Holy Spirit baptism in Acts chapter 8 and chapter 11. Why did the Apostle Peter have to go all the way back to the beginning? It's because what happened in Samaria was not the same thing. If it had been the same thing, ladies and gentlemen, he would have said, "Remember what happened in Samaria!" It's not what he said. It's not what he said. All right. Something else Mr. Hebb said. He said, "Mr. McLean says, let's not pray." I didn't say that. I said, ladies and gentlemen, we do not determine truth by praying. We are to pray, absolutely. But we determine truth by studying. Yes, we're to ask the Lord to help us. He preached Jesus, didn't he, in Acts chapter 8? Yes, he did. So, all right, quickly, let me go back to something else here. Let's go to chart 113, Bruce, 113. The gift of the Holy Spirit was promised to everybody. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friend, that's something that you do. That's not something God does to you. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins. That's something you do. That's not something God does to you. Save yourself from this untoward generation. That's something you do. That's not something God does to you. In every nation, he that feareth is accepted. Whosoever believeth in him shall have remission of sins. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Heth believes, he thinks, that God, okay, has to come by later and do something else in order for you to be saved. When the Lord says, when you do what he says, he will save you. Tell you what we're going to do tomorrow. We're going to examine this. We're going to prove that water baptism puts you into Christ. And we'll deal with those things tomorrow afternoon. I thank you so very much for your kind attention.